the Around the NFL podcast. And drink a water with one hand.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. I am Greg Rosenthal. Not quite surrounded, but still joined by a city filled with heroes, Patrick Claibon and Erica Tamposi, a.k.a. Ricky Hollywood. What's happening?
Hey, Greg.
A little different today, you know? Hey, don't come at me. Hey, my favorite's missing. Hey, I want Dan. I want Mark. I want Wes. But
why would they come at you?
Well, because I'm representing the people that they're – that they don't want, you know, they want Dan and Mark, and they're not getting them this week. Let's break it down. It's a little bit different of a week. This has been a very different off season, and Dan and Mark are taking a well-deserved week to settle a bunch of stuff. And we thought, hey, we're here. Let's tape a couple mini shows instead of going dark a couple weeks before camp starts. We're just going to hit you with the news of the day. We'll get a little extra Ricky Hollywood. We'll get a lot extra Patrick Claibon, and we'll say bye, and we'll continue our training for this 2020 season.
Greg's an extraordinarily nice person. I will translate for anybody that's trying to figure that out.
What?
Don't complain. You're lucky I'm doing this for you.
No.
I'm Greg Rosenthal. I am the source of your joy, your pleasure, your pain, your suffering. I am everything. I am Greg. Bow to me. That's not quite what he said, because Greg's a saint, but
no. But I like that interpretation. Ricky, you were at Hansus Manor yesterday for a nice socially distant, sitting far apart, quick meetup where you saw.
We were, yeah.
Wes. That's pretty exciting.
Saw Wes, saw Keisha, saw baby Link. He is just like so freaking cute. It's unreal. Colleen Wolf was there and Dan, and we all sat very, very far apart, even with masks on, even that far apart. So it was very, it was really, really, we were really careful.
it's still cool. It was hearing, I was not able to make it, unfortunately, was tied up with the family, but, yeah, Wes and Keisha said it was one of the best days they've had in a long time, and get to feel like a normal person and talk to, other people. It's exciting. Yeah, Claibon, well, how was your weekend?
It was good. Last week was probably the busiest week, professionally that I've had, since I came to the NFL, and, that was different. So it made the weekends, because like, honestly, the start of all this, there was no difference between the days. Everything was basically the same, but like I hit Saturday morning and it was like, all right, yeah, let's rest. And then my son immediately kicked me in the face. And so like, it was like a, like, welcome back to reality. But
you're not resting that much. It's like Malcolm is what, three?
Yeah, he's three.
And your newborn Sage is, you know, a newborn. So yeah, you're not getting that much rest. Give me a break.
Yeah. But just the requirements on me, I could just be dad. And so that was cool to just be dad. For a couple of days, and right back at it today, but not to the same extent, because last week was a lot.
Right, and now we're putting you to work, and I apologize for that.
But I don't even have to put a shirt on for this. Like, what are you talking about? This isn't work.
There's like a little bit of, I think, an emptiness inside of me, and the only way to try to fill it is by podcasting. It's like Mark said he was tired of hearing, you know, the sound of his own voice on some level. It's like, nope, not me. Got to just keep talking out into the void. All right, let's do some news, Ricky.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the kid is too old to sleep with a what the he said.
I have never seen Steve Harvey stop during Fast Money. Like, during the Fast Money round, the fact that he was like, what did he just say? Oh, so good.
That was Steve Harvey, who's the host of the Family Feud in an NFL Stars versus Old Stars show. And that was Bruce Smith with one of the most memorable Family Feud answers in a long time.
That's 100% like... As a Family Feud host, your job is to be there for when somebody says something very sexually suggestive and react on that. Like, that's 100% the most important part of hosting that show. And that's what Steve Harvey excels at.
It is. It's a classic. I mean, I can't say I watch a ton anymore, but man, I was locked in as a preteen. And Michael Irvin, by the way, the clip of him celebrating one of his answers is also a delight. Yeah, but did you
see what the question was?
It was kind of like an either or question.
It was 50-50. It was like name a color on a checkerboard, and he said red.
Which
and
got, it's either 50,
red or black.
Which got 51 out of 100, and he celebrated like they won a fourth Super Bowl. But I don't hate it. I love it. I love it. So I wish we had such joyful news to talk about. Well, I guess we do off the top, depending on how you want to look at it. A right has been wronged, and we talked about it. The Washington football team we anticipated they were going to change their name. They had officially said that they were only doing an examination into the team name. On Monday, the team officially announced that they are changing their team name. They mentioned the old team name 7 times in the statement, which was interesting. But it's coming, and perhaps the only reason why they didn't announce what the new name is going to be is there's reportedly a trademark dispute. But Dan Snyder, who's owned the team for 20 years and long fought against this change, officially is on the record that it will be no more, and it will be no more before the 2020 season. So they're going to have to figure out what happens with their uniforms and everything else in the next couple of weeks, Patrick.
And it would seem like hopefully there's been some sort of plan in the works, and it's not just how that statement makes it sound, which is that Dan and Ron are just kind of like on a Zoom call, just talking it out like you and Emeka or me and Lauren naming the kids, right? like hopefully there's more than just two people involved, and hopefully this is the trademark issue is just, you know, how squatters are. You see people do it with URLs and Twitter names all the time. Well, they just
some realtor apparently squatted on all these names. I think somewhat recently he saw what was happening and he suddenly squatted on like 15 different names.
Yeah. And so that, you know, that's unfortunate, but at least like they didn't wait right until they had that resolved. They let everybody know early on in the week that we're not going to use the name anymore. And yeah, it's over. Finally, we can move on to something like I'm just glad it's finally.
I know
over.
It is funny because this is one where we're NFL employees, and a lot of times we get comments, especially from people overseas. Wow, you guys, you know, you can. I'm not going to do an accent, but you guys can really, you know, they really let you take the piss out of the league, even though you work for them. But there are some issues that. You know, A, you always have to be professional about it, but B was kind of a third rail issue. And this was it. This was almost like the number one third rail issue. So there is something to me. You mentioned, Mike Silver calling the name racist. I looked at, you know, the Judy Batista headline. She writes for NFL.com today, and just, you know, calling an a long-term embarrassment for the league is finally over with. And there's almost part of me that's still like, can she say that? But it's great because she can. And the weird thing is it's been such a long fight and we will move on from it, but it's not like this is a new thing.
Right.
I forgot the name, but an Indian council back in 1972 was battling hard for this. This is almost a 50-year-old fight. There were 3,000 people, Ricky, at the Super Bowl in the early 90s that Washington played at protesting that Super Bowl. So that's 30 years ago. So it's not about like, hey, this isn't like, you know, different native voices have been battling this for a long time, and you know, I'm sure they're thrilled to see this. I don't know. It's like a larger question in this time, but man, like there's a reckoning. there's more reckonings for this country out there. And I read this novel. I'm just going to give it a shout out called They're There by Tommy Orange last year. And it's a novel, but man, it provided kind of like a kaleidoscope of the current native experience in the country that was eye opening to me. And it's in a fictional way in such a way that I'm almost like ashamed how little I'd ever thought about it. And it's a brilliant writing too. So I'd recommend that to anyone.
Yeah. One thing that kind of leaps out to me that through the course of the conversation, again, like, as you said, for my entire life about this team's name is this idea that the only reason it matters is because certain people are quote unquote offended. And somebody always, they say offended in such a way that it's like, oh, well, they're being ninnies. Right. And that's it. But it's not about who is or who isn't quote unquote offended, right? The ideas that we have perpetuate actual harm on people, and especially these people who were here before any of us, right? And if we can't change at least even the most minor things, then we're not going to be able to change,
right?
You know, the things that, that still impact them today. And a shout out to the last person to complain about me not using the team name on Twitter, who added the network and the league account run by Bryce and anybody else in social who I guess gets angry tweets about me. Yeah. Why did your late night anchor Patrick Claibon on Thursday night call blank the football team from Washington instead of their nickname when doing the highlights of their preseason games? Preseason games, by the way. Is this an option that you've given to your talent on the network? Well, Tim, you don't have to worry about me saying or not saying the team name anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I guess today sucks for you.
Sorry, not sorry.
You do wonder. I do wonder a little bit if the Chiefs are next. And the Chiefs are different because a Chief, there's many reasons why it's different. But I do think it's possible. And I don't think you'll see, you know, maybe the tomahawk chop at Chiefs games and in different sporty events too. Moving on to the issue of the day, and there's not a huge update today in terms of where we are with the coronavirus in California here, just to give, you know, our listeners, you know, a clue of kind of where we're at. You know, cases are skyrocketing. They are now, you know, adding restrictions or re-adding restrictions to what we can do in terms of hair salons are now closed as of Monday. Once again, indoor malls, a bunch of indoor activities essentially throughout the state. So, and that's happening in a lot of places where new mask laws are happening, new restrictions are happening in hotspots throughout the country. So we're not in a good place in the country. And that leaves the conversations between the NFLPA and the NFL on how to start training camp very complicated. And, you know, I could get into all the details. I just don't think they're that interesting. But right now the two sides are talking on Monday about everything, how they're going to on-ramp the season, player safety, health, and then economics. There's an idea to have like a stipend if you end up being on a team, or even if you show up to work, you get an extra $250,000 or $500,000 this year that's guaranteed, even if the games aren't completed. That's one idea.
Does that go for us too?
Maybe if we have to go into the studio, I think we should talk about that.
We should roll fast to that one.
Yeah, I don't think they're right now. We are not going back into the studio as NFL media employees. But I think the biggest takeaway is just we're 2 weeks away, supposedly, from when all the teams are supposed to show up. And I think it's fair to say there is increasing concern that they're not going to be starting on that date. That is up in the air. And I think Ian Rappaport and some of the players have talked about that.
I think my hope is, if they don't start, right, if we're looking at this at it won't happen, I hope it's for safety reasons. I hope it's not over a contract dispute or just the dispute over the money, because I think we've seen, at least in Tom's reporting since Friday, some pretty reasonable proposals from the PA side, right? And you could negotiate on that in terms of, you know, the stipend, or how much money is going to players who have guaranteed salaries in the event of a loss. But I hope the decisions are being made with regards to safety first, and then everything else can kind of follow after that. But I mean, if there's a good faith effort on both sides to be as safe as possible to start, then that's a starting point. But it's unfortunate that players who, and this is just in general how it is always with like CBAs and contracts, like players have a very limited window to make money, and the owners have a significantly larger window. And so when you're asking players to split losses, right, if there's up to $4 billion in losses, if you want them to split it 50-50 over the course of 1 year, I don't think anybody could really look at that and say that's fair, right?
Right.
For these players in particular to shoulder that loss.
It's complicated, which is why I'm not going to be, you know, lighting you know, torches or take the pitchforks out at this point. It is complicated. And if on both sides, and the revenue sharing aspect to the league adds another layer of complication, but nothing's more complicated than the health stuff. And nothing's more out of the league's control than the health stuff in California and Texas and Florida, which is having record cases. So yeah, I keep going back to that same point. The league and the players aren't going to have any ability to help control that. And that's where it's going to be really complicated. And I reached out to Ian, see if he had anything extra where he's just kind of feeling things. And he just said, nobody knows anything. Nobody knows anything. So if you have this idea of like, there's a certain group of people that knows what's going to happen, I don't think so. Maybe it's at the very inside of the league office where Roger Goodell works, that has like a hope of how things are going to go. But I don't think anyone in terms of teams, coaches, or even the highest place media people really have any clue how this is going to go. Sometimes.
Yeah. Hooray. And extrapolate that not just out through the NFL, but through all of society. In the United States of America, where nobody really knows.
Are we bumming people out? Are we bumming you out, Erica? That's what I worry about.
I mean, no, this is our current, it's our present. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with the bubble, with the NBA. And yes. I think that everything that's happening right now in other sports is going to directly translate to this league. And even Russell Westbrook today is positive for coronavirus.
Right.
So it's happening at an alarming rate still.
Right. A lot of players and you're right. I totally agree that some of the trial and error that the MLB and NBA are going through in terms of their testing time and how that gets complicated, that the NFL will be watching that closely, but the NFL also has way more people. By the way, I saw Russell Westbrook at our local kids park last summer.
So you can say last week. I was like, you might want to go.
No, last summer. And I mean, not surprising that he's, you know, a striking individual in person, but he could do like, he could lift his daughter up to like the high part of the playground, which there's no way that I could, like, he could just pick her up and take her down, but it was like 7 feet in the air. And that's the sort of level of parenting that he can provide. Like that, I just can't. I just can't.
What do you have to do? Climb up and
she's
going to
climb up and down, which is fine. That's the whole idea. But you know, I think in this case, his kid was upset and he could just like reach up and grab her. And that wasn't going to happen for me. He's a tall, you know, he's a guard, so you don't think of it, but he is a tall, tall man.
Yeah. It, the scale of NBA players kind of throws everything off. Like, especially when you think like Dwayne Wade and Julio Jones are the same size, but like,
really, that's the thing. Westbrook is what, 6'6" or 7" or something. So I don't know. You don't think of it, but yeah, he looked like Cam Newton. Apparently they play at the church. Him and some players play Gonzo, our friend Colleen's husband, John Gonzalez. Drop. Do you have that drop?
Of course not. Are we in a studio? You think I can just pull it out of nowhere?
I thought maybe you could, like, later, you could just throw it in there. He somehow knew. He's in the neighborhood that the NBA players get down at that church gym right near us. Moving on. All right, let's talk franchise tag. I know the training camp may or may not start on time, but the rest of the NFL little dates in terms of transactions have gone off as planned all offseason, and that includes almost the last one, which is the day that franchise tag players have to sign a long-term deal by, or they only have the option to play under that tag this year. That day is July 15th. That day is Friday. I mean, Wednesday, rather. Mm-hmm. And it does not appear that Dak Prescott is going to sign a new contract. They're very far apart. And to expand it even further, it doesn't look like any one of the players that was a franchise tag, and there was 14 of them this year, which is a huge number. I think it's the second most ever, got the franchise tag this year. Justin Simmons, the safety of the Broncos, they're apparently talking. Leonard Williams, he's not getting it. Matthew Judon is fighting to be counted as a linebacker a defensive end instead of a linebacker. Shaq Barrett's doing that. But my takeaway 2 days away from this deadline is that it looks like none of these guys are getting long-term contracts. That includes Chris Jones as well, Patrick.
Yeah. And a part of that is just the general direction that the franchise tag has taken over the last few years. And then again, like not to like bring it back down, but it's just this, the uncertainty that's associated with this virus. Yeah. Right. And so there's been, and you see like Ian said today that, you know, there's still 2 days for Dak. Right. But what's the incentive, right? Especially if you're considering that there's a possibility that this season might be shortened. You know, if he's on the tag, like he could stand to lose a lot of money on a short.
So what's the incentive from the team, you're saying? Cause there's still incentive from the player's perspective to get that guaranteed money sooner than later.
Yeah. Get some guaranteed money at the signing. But what's, as far as Jerry, it's just not there. And so that's working out in their favor. And a lot of these other guys, it's just like, oh, we'll tag him. I don't know that they were interested in having them long-term anyway.
Most of them, I would agree. I don't think Matthew Judon was ever getting a long-term deal. I don't think Shaq Barrett was ever getting a long-term deal.
Leonard Williams is the truth, baby.
Leonard Williams was definitely not getting a long-term deal. Joe Tooney with the Patriots. I don't think was ever getting a long-term deal, but guys like Chris Jones, who have made some noise about letting this holdout go a little further, it does appear like Chiefs are trying to make some sort of good faith effort. It'd be complicated, but I just don't think it's going to happen. And the Cowboys, especially, they got a good deal just having him on a 1 year contract, but it's dangerous. I mean, I think it really is dangerous. Cause I think, you know, Dak's only going to be worth more and more as this goes, you know, if he plays well this year, and I think he will.
I don't understand how we're still doing this thing that Matthew Judon and Shaq Barrett are having to deal with. Like if you're rushing the passer a certain number of times, just stop trying to call these dudes linebackers. Like, what are we doing? He led the NFL in sacks. Are you going to say he's a linebacker? Like,
this is getting in the weeds, but this is a battle that's been going on, I think, for like 15 years at different positions. There was outside linebacker and inside linebacker teams used to battle over, and they just made it total linebacker. You're right. They need to make edge a position. Yeah. That's what we've done at the projected starter series. You know, that's what they've done at Roto World. They don't even mess with DEOLB. Yeah, right. They just go edge. Follow us.
We just say edge for the NFL draft. I mean, it's not like, you know, these Mario Williams, Julius Peppers guys are coming in a whole lot, like where it's just like, oh yeah, this is the guy. Like you line up, if you rush the quarterback, then you're an edge. That's it.
All right. We don't have like a ton of like high, super crazy level news, but we are going to run through a few more stories quickly. One of them, including the Patriots, that I don't think it's just me being a Patriots fan that finds this interesting. They opened up $7.74 million in cap space over the weekend when the NFL ruled in their favor on a pair of grievances involving Antonio Brown and, wait for it, Aaron Hernandez. They are getting salary cap space back from the Aaron Hernandez saga. In the year 2020, Erica, I know you're a salary cap expert. I also know you're an Aaron Hernandez expert after watching the documentary. I think you listened to the podcast. You are a Patriots fan. Your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, when it comes to cap stuff, like I'm your girl. And this is huge news. This is the best news of 2020. No, I have no idea. I mean, it's kind of good. It feels like that's sort of closing the door on you don't want to turn a blind eye to the Patriots history, but it is sort of nice to kind of put that behind us going forward.
It's also nice to get an MVP quarterback and be like, oh man, we only got so much money. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to play football, like,
that's a good call.
This is all we got. You know, this is it. This is our best offer. And then the next week it's like, oh, hey, look, we got some money. Oh, well, you already signed. Okay. We'll somebody else.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That is convenient.
Maybe that plays into a future signing. I mean, maybe it's like a come and make sure you're healthy and show. I mean, I know that's like the stupidest argument ever.
I mean, they would love Cam to ball out and to sign him to a big term contract. They can use the franchise tag on Cam, and he does have a lot of incentives on his contract, but not that many. I mean, not enough where if he plays well as a starter, that he's going to be the best bargain in the entire league. And you know who believes me? Who agrees? Cameron Newton. Let's listen to Cam Newton. I know you haven't heard this, Patrick, but I don't know. There's something about me. I've always been a Cam fan. I'm obviously a Patriots fan. There's something about this entire experience that, as we're getting closer to it, is fascinating to me. And I just want to listen to a video that Cam released after a workout.
And if you can find it, it's cinematic. I mean,
we're listening to it. Crazy. We're going to listen to the whole thing. So, Patrick, feel free. We can talk a little over it, because otherwise, okay, it's a minute and a half long. Let's hit it, Ricky.
You know what makes this different is
he's actually tired right now.
This camp.
Yeah.
They ain't never seen him.
That's a big spit, by the way. He hocked the loogie.
They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam.
Yeah.
Shit on Cam. Tired of being sick of tired Cam. Felt like I was just left to die.
There's a lot of Cecil in this.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's over with for him. He ain't the same player.
The Atlanta Cam. And what you're saying, this is the growing up Cam, Patrick?
Nah, Cam is literally the son of a preacher man.
I love it. I adore it. I admire it. Taste it. I want everything about it. You know what I'm saying? Because
he's got the workout endorphins juicing through him right now.
Yeah,
I ain't never seen that. Me,
we gotta get these guys to like follow more friendly timelines, so they're not only exposed to activity.
I admire it. I want to taste it. I want everything about it.
All right, that took a
you know what I'm saying? Because I ain't never seen that. Me. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, did we just loop back to the beginning or something? Yeah. What just happened?
No, he's just repeating himself.
Yeah, loving all my kids more.
Okay, here he is. Here's the big ending.
Got more energy. You know what I'm saying? Chosen say, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. We going to Charlotte? I said, no, son. It's over with.
Charlotte's dead.
We got another place we're going to. We're going north.
Oh,
yeah. Going north.
The smile on y'all's faces when he said that, even though both of you had heard it before,
yes.
This kind of indicates to me the passion of being an NFL fan, and I'm glad that you guys have another fantastic quarterback, albeit a more cinematic one, almost.
I mean, there is something to, first of all, I love that, he said the humble Cam is gone. It's like, the humble Cam wasn't around for too long, and no one wants that. That's not who Cam is. I want this Cam. I love that he's calling himself the. We had to beep out some words there, but the did it on Cam, and I don't know. It's just gonna be fascinating. I don't know. It makes me so much more excited if there is football this season. I just don't want him to be bad.
I know.
I do not want to imagine what Boston is like if he doesn't play well. But he's going to make it. He makes it fun. Please, people talk about Jarrett Stidham competing with him.
And it doesn't even like cut off. He's like, we're going north. And then he like looks off into the distance and then walks into the darkness like someone following him. I was just like, let's go.
Yeah, you're right that this is NFL fandom in a nutshell, because I never watch any of these player type videos hype. I've never watched the Cam video like this before, but now that it's the Patriots and in this quiet time, I'm like watching this and thinking, oh yeah, watch out.
Felt like I was Game of Thrones.
Right.
I think we're gonna know pretty early, right?
I think so.
Somebody's gonna run a deep out, and if Cam's fastball is back, well then you guys are gonna win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's pretty much it. that's the only difference. Like if Cam's arm is back, then that's it. The Patriots.
I think so. I think you're going to know by mid-August if they're actually practicing at full speed, and that's going to take weeks, I think, to really find out about. But maybe it's late August. Basically, if he's just out there and he's healthy, then we know. Then they have Cam for as long as it's going to last. And maybe that's six games. Maybe that's 6 years. It's really tough to tell. But it is one of the delightful subplots of this season that makes me hope that we do have it. After this season, though, we already know a little bit about the broadcasting teams for 2021. Greg Olson has officially signed to Fox Sports. We've been tracking this story, and I just figured let's throw it in there. He is signing for 2021 to Fox Sports. He's going to be their number two analyst, along with Kevin Burkhardt. That was the old Charles Davis role. Charles Davis is going to CBS. Moose Johnston is going to fill it this year, but just for 1 year. And Greg Olson is getting a nice post career gig, and I'm all about it because I think he's done a great job when he's done some games.
I can't wait to see what the third leg of Greg's career is going to look like. I mean, he is just he's taken over. He's been at Miami, flourished in Charlotte. You know, they had an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, and I think it's good. Like, there was this era, right, of color guys that didn't really. It seemed like it was forced almost, and kind of Romo has opened up this idea of just kind of get up there and be you. Don't necessarily try to fit into this broadcaster mold that we've all been up there. And if you want to have fun, if you want to be excited, if you want to riff on the guy that's calling the game, like, go up there and do it. I'm excited to see Greg do it. I'm excited to see, you know, the next wave. Not to push anybody out, but, you know, just let's just watch the game and have some fun. And not be all kaji.
Give Nate Burleson and that NFL Network team a little extra work too. I think they were fun out in the UK last year. A couple smaller items again we're going to close up with here and say goodbye. And we will be doing one other show this week unless you just come at me and say no. So you're just like, that wasn't good enough. Sorry, Greg. Raheem Mostert had a trade request. This happened after we taped our last podcast on Wednesday. Since then, the agents walked it back somewhat or totally that he realizes it was a bad idea, but he does want to raise Raheem Mostert, a Super Bowl and playoff hero. I mean, could have been, you know, one of the most valuable 49ers there was, Erica, but they just don't want to pay him because he's a running back and they find running backs on trees in San Francisco.
I do think it's a little, it's funny that he's like, actually, you know, I don't want to trade anymore, which is like the ultimate leverage. It's like, if I go to my boss and I'm like, hey, someone's really recruiting me and like, they're going to pay me whatever. Then they're like, okay, go. And it's like, oh wait, no, like I'm good here, but can we like work something out?
I mean, you've tried that move.
I have. Yeah. I'm still trying. I try it, you know, weekly.
You've tried like the beginning steps of that move.
Oh,
and I think it could be successful. I think at this point your leverage is greater than it's ever been.
Yeah, I agree. But for Raheem Mostert, I think they kind of like I would think that Shanahan would want to keep that team as close together as possible for right now because they are in that window still. And especially with the season that they had, they're in a good place.
Is that Sage? Yeah. Hi, Sage.
Sage is making a guest appearance.
Do you need to go? Do you want to bring Sage on the show? No. It's up to you. I mean, she is on the show. I love having her.
Well, we can see her here in a second. Lauren is manipulating a excrement receptacle device, and you see, this is what I'm sure it's great audio. If
no, I think it's great. It's a slice of life.
But honestly, like, I understand where Raheem Mostert is coming from.
Oh, you're just pivoting right off of Sage? I thought you were giving some fatherly, like, okay, this is what life is like.
I don't really have any like fatherly things to present. Mm-hmm. Like, Lauren's just been carrying us this past couple of weeks. And so like my fatherly advice would be to find a spouse at a
party. Yeah, marry Lauren.
yeah, that's it. I would suggest to everybody marry somebody like my wife, but not my wife because I like her too much. If you guys want to say hey to Sage.
Sure.
Hi. Wow. Oh my goodness. Oh. She is so beautiful.
Erica's living that baby life, seeing Lincoln and Sage.
Oh my God,
back
I know.
Back
oh, look at the little yawn. Oh, you're just waking up.
Yeah. Not happy about it. Oh. Maybe this light's a little bright.
Cute.
So cute. But,
like, for Mostert, if I get it, like the dude's over 6 yards a carry, right, for his career, and I understand that people want to like attribute that? And I know that we've done a lot of math here recently with regards to running backs, and like the guy is popped off big runs and he makes plays. So like, why wouldn't he try to get to get some money, man? Like, we don't know how long this game's going to exist. We don't know how long players' careers are going to. So I'm never going to like dump on a guy for trying to put himself in position to make some more money.
Well, here's the thing. He was the best one last. They were at their best last year, and he was the best one last year, especially when it mattered. They've had a lot of different people in there. And this is kind of a something people don't consider when you bring free agents into your organization, that the other people at that position see what they make. And if they end up outperforming them, then that becomes a problem. Or if they already were. In this case, Mostert, you know, was paid at a normal rate. But now he sees Tevin Coleman, and he saw what Jerick McKinnon was making, and he's making a lot less than them, and he was a lot more valuable than Tevin Coleman was even when Coleman was on the field, and so you get upset, and maybe they'll give him a little pop. I wouldn't be surprised if they put some incentives or throw in something into his contract. Throw him a bone at least. We are going to wrap up with some more running back news, which is that Devonta Freeman, who is not in the league right now, reportedly did have interest from a variety of teams, but couldn't settle on the right number, has had his relationship with his agent terminated. That his agent sort of fired him, I guess, basically because he wouldn't take the contract that she was hoping that he took, which is, you don't see that too often.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from Devonta Freeman, right?
Yeah.
Because the agent out in front, right, has a lot of skin in the game. Maybe not as much as Devonta Freeman, and I'm definitely not doubting anybody's reporting. But you know, it's kind of like when a marriage doesn't work, and it's like, sources say that he was a jerk, and it's like, oh well, let's get another point of view here, because maybe there's some blame to be cast on both sides.
Are you referring to the Jay Cutler divorce, or you're just
perhaps any relationship involving more than one person, right?
Because there were some stories, that came out immediately that didn't paint Jay in the brightest light, and in the entertainment press, and it felt like, okay, this is probably not coming from Jay's camp.
Yeah, does Jay Cutler paint himself in the brightest light? Like, did we?
It's like, who can you blame here, really?
I mean, but honestly, I mean, when you get involved with AJ Cutler, one would think that you would be aware of the circumstances that would follow. But you know, all the best to Jay and Kristen and Devonta and his agent as well.
His agent is named Kristen Campbell. Yeah, I don't like it when the agent's putting it out there like that. They're clearly trying to say, like, hey guys, it wasn't my fault that he didn't get a contract this offseason. So it's playing the game. I don't love that.
Oh, and one on the topic of agents, one thing that I thought about, Charlie Casserly kind of slightly went in on Patrick Mahomes' agent last week. And it was like the first time that I remember any concrete criticism of a player's agent. And so that was cool.
Finally
see that. Yeah, because when the players sign their own contracts, right, it's like, oh, well, they could have got this, that, and the other. But if it's an agent done deal, generally,
that's fair.
The idea is like, oh, well, this is the best that they could have done. You know, they were working with certain circumstances, because agents really dictate the course of our conversations about a lot of things. And I'm glad I've got a better one now. I'll say that.
Good ending. Good. I want to hear more about that later. But in the meantime, Erica, hopefully you find the agent of your dreams.
I hope so. Thanks, Greg.
I've got mine. You know, shout out to Burke. And that's it for this show, I think. We're just doing news. We're going to update you on everything that's happening in the NFL a little later in the week. And that's it. And we'll be back with our full shows next week and our TV around the NFL broadcast next week, but we're going to hold it down this week and we're going to have fun doing it. Thank you, Patrick.
And thank you, Ricky. Rick.
Let's do it. For Patrick Claibon, Erica Tamposi, for Lauren and Sage, they jumped in here for Patrick Claibon's fired agent. See you Wednesday.